The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland proudly present Where We Worship. This 30-minute locally produced program highlights Northeast Ohio's Catholic parishes and institutions, their rich histories, and what they do to meet the spiritual needs of those they serve. Now here's your host, Bob Tayak.
Welcome to Where We Worship, a program highlighting parishes and Catholic institutions throughout Northeast Ohio with the intention of offering you insight and understanding on the importance of community in our Catholic faith. And this program is sponsored in part by the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. Well, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops best describes the parish as the place where the church lives. Parishes are communities of faith, of action, and of hope, and they're where the gospel is proclaimed and celebrated. Parishes are the home of the Christian community. They are the heart of the church. And why are they essential to our relationship with God? Well, one only needs to turn to Scripture. In his letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul writes, "We must consider how to rouse one another to live and do good works. We should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more, as you see the day drawing near." Well, today on Where We Worship, we look to the Eastern Rite of our Catholic faith to learn about St. Elias Greek Melkite Catholic Church in the Cleveland suburb of Brooklyn. Historically, St. Elias Parish, it dates to a gathering of Middle Eastern immigrant faithful who first assembled on Christmas Day in 1901. The founding congregation was made up of those Middle Eastern immigrants new to Cleveland, and as the current parish mission states, St. Elias is composed of brothers and sisters of the Middle East from Lebanon, Syria, Palestine, Jordan, Egypt, Iraq, and the United States. Oh, this is your host, Bob Tayak, and joining me on Where We Worship is the pastor of St. Elias Greek Melkite Catholic Church, Father George Haddad, along with longtime parishioners and subdeacons Joe Aide and Khalil Abdallah. So let's lead off first, Father George. I will look to you, probably a good idea to acquaint our audience again with the Eastern Rite of the Catholic Church, particularly in this case, the Melkite Order. Could you give us kind of a simple history lesson on the difference between the Eastern Rite and what many of our listeners are familiar with, the Roman or Latin Rite?
Well, Bob, as you know, the Catholic Church is actually composed of 24 different rites, one Latin, and 22 Eastern or Oriental rites churches, and then you have the Ordinariate in Texas for the Anglican conversion.
So which you have,
they have 40 different, they have 40 churches in that diocese, and all these churches embody the traditions and practices that are at least a millennium old and are heirs to the original Christian tradition of a particular region. Many trace their origins back to the apostles or the apostolic times. And the Melkite Church is an apostolic, the Maronite, the Melkite, etc. They were all apostolic, and we claim that St. Peter is the founding of our church. In Vatican II, Orientalium Ecclesiarum, a decrees on the Eastern Catholic Churches asserts that the variety that the Eastern churches represent within the church in no way harm its unity, rather it manifests it. All of the churches, the decree reinforces, are of equal dignity with each other and to the Western church under the authority of the Pope. And all are encouraged to preserve and develop both the liturgy and the way of life. So I hope...
That's a good explanation. And as you just said, ultimately, they do come under the Pope in Rome, of course. What distinguishes your Melkite Eastern Rite from other Eastern Catholic rites such as Maronite or Byzantine or Ukrainian?
Lack of a better word, there are five traditional rites in the Eastern Rite churches. They have the Alexandrian liturgical tradition, which is the Coptic Catholic, Eritrean, and the Ethiopian. They have the Antiochian liturgical tradition, which is Maronite, the Syriac Catholic Church, or the Syrian Catholic Church, and the Syro-Malankara, which is out of India. The Armenian is the Armenian, and the Chaldeans are, or Eastern Syrian liturgical, which is the Chaldean Catholic Church and the Syro-Malabar. Us, we fall under what we call the Byzantine or the Constantinopolitan liturgical tradition. So in that case, you have the Albanian, the Belarusian, the Bulgarian, the Croatian, the Greek Catholic Church, the Hungarian, the Macedonian, the Melkite, the Romanian, and Russian Catholic churches, all as we celebrate Ruthenian and the Slovak and the Ukrainian. So we all celebrate the same type of liturgy of John Chrysostom, with some variations, but that's all one, like one rite.
And it is interesting. You touched on it with the liturgy. I always found this fascinating. You know, in the Latin rite, we call it the Mass.
Yep.
We're going to the Mass, but different terminology in the Eastern rite.
We stick to the word liturgy, liturgical liturgy, divine liturgy.
It's a divine liturgy. Right.
Yeah. And if I say Mass, my brother priests, they yell at me.
Because it's really the divine liturgy.
It's the divine liturgy. Even in the Western churches, it's called the divine liturgy, but I'll be honest with you, I do not know why they chose to go to the word Mass.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Tell us about St. Elias now. I mentioned established roughly 1901. I don't know maybe if Khalil or Joe would like to jump in about the history of this parish. It really was serving people. If you would, Khalil.
Yes. As you mentioned before, in 1901, a group of immigrants were here. And about 1903, we had a visitation from Father Marcia, a Salvatorian from Lebanon, who came and joined these people. And after a few years of serving masses in locations where they were able to get a position for a few minutes, they finally established a church. And I think by 1907, I believe, they purchased two buildings in Webster Avenue. And at that time, those two buildings were converted, one to a church and one to a place where the bishop could stay, or the priest could stay. Then it took more years after that to develop the complete Melkite parish that we have nowadays.
Sure. When did the move come to Brooklyn, to the suburb of Brooklyn? Somewhere in the, was it in the 50s, or Joe, do you recall?
Well, before that, it moved from Webster to Scranton Road.
Mm.
By the Metro Hospital there across the street, by St. Michael's Church.
Right,
we were there for a while. That's when I came in. I came here. I was born in Lebanon. I came here in 1952. And that was the church they sent me to because I was Melkite.
Yeah, I want to talk about that a little more in a minute. But as you said, so then it evolved.
Then the pastor at that time, Father Miflach, he was getting up in age and he needed an assistant. So he asked the seminary in Lebanon for an assistant. They sent him Father Gattas, who's a young man, he's 30. And after a few months, he took over the parish as a pastor. And right at that time, he started looking for another place to build a church. And he started that. And of course, he had a lot of objections from the parishioners, mostly the well-to-do, who could, because he was going to ask for money to build a church. So a lot of them kind of stepped back. But at that time, we were under the Bishop of Cleveland. We didn't have a bishop here.
I see.
So he talked to the Bishop of Cleveland, and he told them, well, take consensus, vote, see what the people want. And he did. And the majority wanted a new church to move from the church. So he told them, God bless you. Go ahead.
Oh,
and that's
good.
When he found the property in Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn.
Yeah, with the help of Mayor Coyne at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And we purchased the property and started in 64.
About 64. When we return, St. Elias Greek Melkite Catholic Church in the Cleveland suburb of Brooklyn on Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260 St. Peter the Rock Radio, with special thanks to the Diocese of Cleveland for support of this program. This is your host, Bob Tayak, with a message for our listeners. Are you a digital subscriber to the weekly email newsletter provided by the Diocese of Cleveland? Well, right before the weekend begins, the Diocese delivers a series of updates and stories from ministries throughout Northeast Ohio, as well as Bishop Edward Mielecek's Gospel Reflection for that Sunday. Be sure to visit dioceseofcleveland.org and click on the subscriber box that pops onto your screen. Well, now, as our interview continues, my guests are the pastor of St. Elias Greek Melkite Catholic Church, Father George Haddad, along with Deacons Joe Aid and Khalil Abdallah. And let me turn first to you, Father. As our American culture becomes more homogenized, we keep moving away from our ethnic languages and traditions as well. Has it been difficult to have a new generation continue to practice the faith in accordance with those traditions, rituals, practices, and language that, you know, are practiced at St. Elias?
New generation as well, you mean by born here?
Or born here, yeah. Or even as immigrants come over, you know, it's all about, you know, adapt and become one. And a lot of times they want them to forego language and culture.
It's not the culture. It's mostly the language that we have issues with. Mm-hmm. When the new the young adults they prefer the English because that's what they're exposed to the entire life now. And so what we do is what I started doing here in the church is when we teach religious education, we start teaching also Arabic languages and the culture, etc. But in the liturgy itself, I mixed a little bit of Arabic because we are welcoming to everybody, so not everybody understand Arabic. So when they come in through the doors, they have to be able to follow what we're doing. I always said since I've been here that the readings, the epistle, the gospel, and the homily is going to be in English no matter what, so that anybody in the church has to be able to understand what we're saying. We do also actually mix with some of the Greek languages in the church, and it seems like we have a lot more now. It seems to have more attraction for the American-born, non-Middle Eastern descent to come to the church.
Oh, why is that?
So they like the ritual. They like when the mysticism of the Eastern churches is really start getting an appeal to the non-ethnic people. You experience all your five senses when you walk into an Eastern church, right? For when you walk into St. Elias, you're going to see, you know, your five senses is you smell the incense, you hear the word of God, you see the icons, you taste the body and blood of Christ, when you give the peace, etc. So you're using the touch. So you're using all five senses in one liturgy, in 1 hour. You're experiencing the entire divine liturgy that way. And that's appeals to a lot of the, I mean, we have a lot, you know, what I call them Americans in another way, non-ethnic, and that they come in and they like the liturgy. They're very mesmerized by it.
Mm-hmm. No, very good.
Again, we are a church that appeals that we have people that drive 64 miles one way to come to church. So a lot of times it's easier to go to the Latin church next door to the house instead of coming to St. Elias. And that's interfere with us. The other one is when you have young adults having young kids, they want to go to a Catholic church school. And since I've been here, so I've been working with the diocese and some particular parishes that have schools, is that our parishioners don't need to register at your parish to have the discount and avail to them, because I mean they are part of our parish, and then you know, so that's those are the issues that works against us that have not allowing people to come back to, you know, full time mm-hmm. every Sunday to the church.
Joe, I'm going to toss to you now, because I thought yours is a great story about really the founding of St. Elias dated back to serving this immigrant community. And firsthand, you alluded to it in one of your first answers. But tell us your story. How did you end up at St. Elias? And how did you end up in Cleveland, Ohio? Because you were born in Lebanon, right?
Yes, I was born and raised until 16 years old. And my dad always wanted to come to the States. He worked for the American Embassy there for 10 years, and they told him, put your name on the quota and you'll get a visa to go. He says, I don't know anybody in the United States. He said, well, put your name. You can always refuse. So he did put their name. And here, sure enough, 10 years later, he got the visa and said, you can go to the States. So he came here and tried for 7 months, and he didn't like the social life. Well, his family wasn't with him. He was by himself. And he was working from sunrise to sunset. You don't see anybody until Sunday when you go to church. Then you meet people. So he went back, And then he went back, and then we didn't know what to do. We were ready to come. So he said, okay. I told him, why don't you send me to the States? I'll go to school. He said, no, we're not going to split the family. We'll either stay here together or we'll go together. So we got on the boat, and we came here together. And as soon as we landed here.
About what year, Joe, was this?
52.
1952.
Yeah. June of 1952. We arrived in Cleveland, and of course, we want to go to church. And people ask, are you Maronite or Orthodox or Melkite? What are you? We said, well, my dad is Melkite. My mother was Maronite. Mm. Here, my wife is Maronite, and I'm Melkite. So my dad said, we're Melkites. We want to go to Melkite Church. He said, well, St. Elias is your church. And that's why we went up at St. Elias in 1952.
Wow, and that's how you ended up there.
Scranton Avenue.
And it really became both, not only, of course, your spiritual home, but it sounds like it was very much a social aspect.
Like Father said, this is like an ethnic church. It's not a neighborhood church. Mm-hmm. So people come from all over. I mean, now from Medina, from Solon, you know, from all the way.
Sure.
Just to come to our services.
Father George, yours is an interesting story, and again, it relates more to the Eastern Rite, and for those in the Latin Rite, you know, we have unmarried clergy. But your vocation story I found fascinating. Tell us a little bit about yourself, because you're, if you will, a late vocation to the priesthood, but preceded by marriage and a couple of daughters. Please fill us in a little bit about your own vocation journey.
Well, I was born and raised in Lebanon. We immigrated when I was between 16 and 17. But even at that moment, I mean, when I was growing up, I had the desire to become a priest. And then we came here, we went to college, etc. And I met my wife now. And I even told her, I said, I want to become a priest. Before we even got married, you know, I said, this is my desire to be a priest. And lo and behold, she said, go find somebody else.
My goodness.
I am not a wife of a priest. I'm not going to be a wife of a priest.
Interesting.
But we got married. I stayed, you know, we got married. And as the Lord will have it, throughout our marriage, she worked majority of the time at a church.
Oh, my goodness.
As a matter of fact, the last 14, 15 years when we were in Connecticut, she worked at an Episcopal church. She ran it, you know, she's the business manager, etc. And then she has to have the okay. I would not approach any, you know, I would not follow it until she has to give me her blessing. And once she gave me the blessing, I approached the bishop, and he agreed that, you know, he liked to ordain me and for me to follow the pursuit of the priesthood. And because I've married, you know, so I have to get a master's degree in theology and follow, you know, studies learn about the Melkite Church liturgy and et cetera, you know, one-on-one instead of in a seminary, because
sure.
I went to Cromwell, Connecticut, which is Holy Apostles Seminary. That's where I studied my theology. I got ordained in September of 2020 as a priest.
Wow.
So next month I'll be 3 years a priest.
Wow.
So,
but you have two grown daughters.
I have two
daughters.
Two daughters, 30 years old and 27.
Wow.
Soon to be 28. And one lives in upstate New York. The other one lives in Connecticut. I mean, we lived a life. I mean, I got ordained. I was 55, 56 years old. So it's my third vocation, as they say.
Right. Well, very good. Coming up, St. Elias Greek Melkite Catholic Church. Its current ministries, activities, and liturgies on Where We Worship on AM 1260 St. Peter the Rock Radio. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio, and our focus for this broadcast is St. Elias Greek Melkite Catholic Church in the suburb of Brooklyn. I'm your host, Bob Tayak. My guests are Pastor Father George Haddad, along with longtime parishioners, Subdeacons Joe Aide and Khalil Abdallah. Let's look now at some of the activities, if you will, at the parish itself. I will look to you, Khalil. How about any special ministries that you'd like to talk about or highlight for us about what goes on at St. Elias?
Well, there are many. There are many. It depends on the condition of the church. We've had, in the past, men's club and ladies' guild and other features like that. There are glee clubs and everything else. But as subdeacons, we do have to help the priests to get ready for each liturgy. So that takes a little bit of preparation, a lot more than a typical Latin church, which we perform. we just provide all these activities and other features. We have a Sunday school, for instance, that we keep going all during the regular school year. And we take trips once in a while as religious trips to go to religious areas. For instance, Solanus in Detroit, we go there, and we go to the mission in Youngstown and places like of that. Interest. Sure. Yes. Sure.
You know, I'm going to turn. I always ask this question in these interviews, and Father, I look to you for this. Reaching young people in this culture, in this day and age, it's a question I ask every pastor. It's got to be a challenge within this current culture of ours that dismisses religion to such a degree. How are you able to take that on with the young people that are coming to St. Elias?
To answer that question correctly, it's one person at a time. And once that person is happy, they will bring their friends. But the issue that, if you really want my opinion, the issue that we have, the struggle that we're having with the young people, I blame on the parents. Because the parents is allowing that. I mean, as I was growing up, even when I went away to college, my mom used to call me every Sunday asking me. So I don't want to lie to her. So I used to go to church just because I said, I know my mom's going to call today and making me go to church. I even told some of my parishioners, I said, you're the mother. You can make them feel guilty. You can guilt them into coming to church. Sure. I said, and then let God do the rest. You know, walk them through that door and God will do the rest. But in all reality is to attack this, it's one person at a time. Once you have one person in, you make them feel welcome. You surround them with people that they're happy, you know, to see them, etc. And then once they have that good experience, they'll come back over and over again. But again, unlike the Roman Catholic Church, we're few. You know, we have one church in the entire Cleveland area. So you're not going to get that experience everywhere. You know, you're not going to have a church right next door to your house.
Right.
But we do have some. Believe it or not, we do have some converts that came from different religions that came since I've been here. So it is start attracting. I mean, Rome was not built in one day.
No, it surely wasn't. Father, let me ask you, just to make it clear again to someone who may be listening, should a Catholic like to experience this Greek Melkite Byzantine rite, the services at St. Elias, one can do so without hesitation, correct? Receive the sacraments, fulfill their obligations at the Divine Liturgy, and all of that.
Absolutely. They fulfill their obligation. They come in, if they're Catholic, they can fulfill their obligation. They can receive the communion. They can I can hear their confession. So it is a Catholic church.
Right.
So they went to their church. So we've had, like, sometimes people miss Christmases, whatever, you know, on holy days. They come to the church because it's open, and that's when we see a lot of people that we've never seen anywhere before, because they missed Mass, you know, they missed their own Mass or the Divine Liturgy, etc.
Sure.
So,
what times on the weekends in particular are your Divine Liturgies or Mass?
The Divine Liturgy is on Sunday at 10:30.
10:30.
Yeah, and any holy days of obligation or any holy days, etc., would be like the Dormition or the Assumption.
Mm-hmm.
On the 15th, that would be the same day, but in the evening at 7 p.m., so
very good.
I do it on the day of the feasts. I don't do it on the eve of the feast.
Got it. How can someone learn more about St. Elias Greek Melkite Catholic Church in the suburb of Brooklyn? What's the best way to either reach you or find out about you?
Best way to do is come on Sunday. That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. Second part is they can look us up online. We have a website. We have Facebook. But the best way to learn about us and meet other people is to come in on Sunday at 10:30. Then they can come down and say, I invite them for a cup of coffee. Instead of saying, you know, and the benefit of drinking coffee with us is you hear the Mass.
There you go. That's it. Very good. Well, you've been listening to Where We Worship. This is your host, Bob Tayak. This presentation featuring St. Elias Greek Melkite Catholic Church in the Cleveland suburb of Brooklyn. Where We Worship is a production of AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio, focusing on the essential aspect of community worship and participation in our Catholic life, and is written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2. Prayer as a community is essential for our spiritual growth and personal well-being. God does not intend for us to bear our crosses alone.
Thank you for listening to Where We Worship with host Bob Taya. Presented by AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. If you missed any part of today's show, you can listen to the program in its entirety by going to our website, am1260therock.com, and clicking the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.